You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Richard Boxall.
Hello and welcome to the European Tour Race to Dubai show as we look back on a second European Tour victory for James Morrison. The Englishman won the Open de España by four shots after maintaining his focus in a flawless final round.
I didn't think about it either at all today, just stuck to my process and whatever happened, happened, and just grounded it every single shot I could. And I played great too, I mean, it means a lot, yeah.
We'll speak to James on the show shortly. Tied second on 6-under were Miguel Angel Jimenez, Edwy España, Francesco Molinari and overnight leader David Howe.
Couldn't exert any pressure on James whatsoever, he was in control of his game. And it all went wrong, on the night for me. Pleased with the way I came back on the back nine, to be honest with you. To finish tied second, the way I played the front nine was a great effort.
Meanwhile, Rory McIlroy starts the week of his BMW PGA Championship defence with victory in the Wells Fargo in America.
It's just a great momentum builder. Still got a lot of golf to play, and I don't feel like my game's ever been in better shape, so excited for the next few months.
So we will review wins for Morrison and McIlroy, and we'll look ahead to the prestigious week at Wentworth, the BMW PGA Championship. I'm Robert Lee, and alongside me today is Richard Boxall. Richard, how are you?
Well, I'm shocked, really. Before we get into the Spanish Open, I can't believe the way McIlroy's been playing.
Why can't you believe that? He's not normal,
Richard. He's not, is he? Anyway,
we'll get back to Rory in a minute.
We will.
Yeah, let's concentrate on the Spanish Open at the Real Club de Golf El Prat, just north of Barcelona. Tough test, Richard.
It was very tough, especially when a bit of breeze was blowing, as you chaps were chatting about. I obviously didn't go to that one, but I was watching a bit of it on TV. I didn't recognise the course because they obviously had to have a composite course there because of that great big storm they had last year. Would that be correct?
No, I think that's the course they play. The storm, they lost thousands and thousands and thousands of trees in a huge storm in December, and the place was unplayable. I mean, there were tall pines just folded over in the middle of the fairways. The job they did to get that course playable again was incredible in a few months.
It was a tough course. The fairways were browning up. The greens look like, they're getting that brown sort of tinge on it.
And lifted up fronts, the greens are all raised up.
Yeah, so it made it very difficult with the greens being so hard. The only place it looked a lot of times you could pitch the ball, especially coming out of that rough, because lots of flyers out of that rough, was you had to pitch it about a foot, 2 feet on the green into that little false front and let it run up to the hole.
Well, that would be fairly accurate, yeah. If you were coming from the rough, you had to be on the fairway. And that's what made James Morrison's round so impressive because, some tough par fours through the front nine, he just bust that driver straight down into the narrow nape of fairway. And was hitting wedges at holes, 470 yards. He was hitting wedges in because he'd taken a chance with the driver. Friday afternoon was especially difficult. It really did blow right through there. And the weird thing about the week was you could be over the ball and it was downwind. You'd made your plan with your caddy, got the yardage and everything else. You're over the ball, about to pull the trigger, and the wind starts blowing in your face. You get Wentworth where the wind funnels a little bit.
Yeah.
But this is, a lot of the time, it's got a 500-mile run-up. It's got a clear view. And it just turned like that. Freaky weather conditions with the wind. But Morrison had to hold off David Howell, who fell away. David didn't have his best ball striking round, so he kind of went out of the picture quite rapidly on the front nine and then had a really good comeback to finish tied second. Miguel Angel Jimenez made the charge. There was no charge from Garcia at all. He had a sort of a nothing day. It was all about what James Morrison did, Richard, and he was superb. 69, bogey-free.
Yeah, 68, 69 at the weekend. You took the words right out of my mouth about David Howell. I thought he was going to win. Double bogey the ninth, I think he did, didn't he? Which was a bad finish in the front nine. But as you say, it was a pretty good recovery. David Howell, plenty of experience. He must have, five or six wins under his belt, I would imagine, David, on the European Tour.
And won some big ones. One in Sheshan, the HSBC Champions. He's won the BMW PGA Championship.
Dunhill.
He's won Dunhill. He's won some big events.
He has. He's a proper player. He's a great storyteller, David, as well. He's got some wonderful stories.
But he probably won't tell you a wonderful story about the last round in Spain in 2015, will he?
No, he won't. No, that was... what did he shoot last round, Robert? Top of your head.
73,
quick.
I'm saying.
Very good. Anybody would think you were there, Robert.
Thank you so much, Richard. Well, I'm very pleased to say that joining us on the Race to Dubai show is the latest champion on the European Tour, James Morrison, Spanish Open champion. How does that sound?
It sounds absolutely fantastic. It's still kind of sinking in after yesterday because it's a bit of a whirlwind day, really, and windy on the golf course and all the press stuff and running to get an aeroplane and stuff, and now finally at home and just trying to let it all sink in, really.
Did you feel this was coming along? Did you feel your game was right up for this, or was it completely nothing out of the blue for you?
Well, no, I think it was definitely building up to this, to be honest. I mean, had a really steady year last year, my sixth year on tour. As you guys well know, it's all about learning, and it's a learning curve, and there's no timeline on how good you can be and how when you should be winning golf tournaments, I suppose. And I've been playing well all year, really. I've been very steady and no real fireworks. I knew that when everything falls into place 1 week, and then I can have a good chance at it, and that happened yesterday.
James, I remember I was standing at a bar with you, funnily enough, last year. You know,
Germany.
Germany, was it? Yes. I did buy you a drink, didn't I?
No, you didn't. I bought you a drink.
I think you bought it. Yes, well done. You can buy me another one now. What was I going to ask you? Oh, yes, you said you were making a load of cuts, but you just kept sort of finishing between 40th and 50th. Must have been frustrating, that.
Exactly, yeah, that it was frustrating. Then, again, as you guys well know, it doesn't take much to finish in the top 10 or finish 40th, really. It's a real fine line. And then the end of the year last year, I finished 4th in Perth and then 6th in Abu Dhabi at the start of the year. And I was really pushing on with what I was doing. And a little bit of a change direction. We're trying to add a few things into my swim that didn't work. And we've now gone back to doing what I do best and how I swim the golf club my best. And lo and behold, this is what's happened. So the key is to keep getting better at what I do, really.
It was noticeable yesterday, James, that you had a plan to play the golf course. And that was pretty much to be aggressive and hit the driver as much as you could.
No, definitely. I mean, when it's firm and fast like that, I mean, you can almost go the other way. You can almost start hitting 3 irons or 4 irons and hybrids and end up leaving yourself a long way into those greens. When the greens are so firm, you've got to put as much spin on the ball as possible. And at the end of the day, you think if you're going to win, you can't just stand there and let it fall back to you. So yeah, we stuck to our plan and just kept ticking along and trying to make birdies here and there and kind of did that, but also made some good par putts in the middle of the round that were pretty crucial, really.
Were you aware as you were playing the round if anyone was coming at you?
I actually wasn't, because I didn't realise I was tied for the lead. I didn't realise that Emiliano Grillo got so far up the leaderboard. I wasn't really aware of that. I mean, I was just trying to hit my shots, and the first board I saw was 17 when I saw him have to finish at 6 on the par. So I was like, you almost see it all playing out in front of you. Don't make bogey at 17. Then also him in the club has a 6 under par. So that par of 17 was pretty crucial. And that's the first time I really sort of looked at the leaderboard all day, really.
Was there a lack of leaderboards round, or are you not a leaderboard watcher? Because I can't believe people aren't leaderboard watchers.
Well, I used to say that when I was listening on TV. That was a load of rubbish. I never saw one leaderboard all day. But in years past, and when I've been in contention and not done it over the years, I've been too much into leaderboards and where am I lying? What have I got to do this? And me and my caddy made a big effort to not look at them. So I kept my head down quite a bit. So when I was walking towards, but there's plenty of boards, always in the worst spot possible when you're lining a putt up or walking off the green. And I tried my hardest to keep my head down. Caught myself a couple of times trying to glance at them, but just really stuck to what I was trying to do and not look at them, really.
In America, they've got those sort of moving, like huge telly leaderboards. And,
exactly.
And so you get on the green, it'll say, James Morrison hasn't held a 12-footer for 4.5 weeks. I mean, it's the last thing you want to see.
Is that the last thing you want to see? On those things, they show your waist size, your shoe size and everything on those TV screens. But, I mean, it's almost the last thing you want to see sometimes is all those stats and leaderboards. But I guess it's part and parcel of playing golf at the top level, I suppose.
Yeah, it's all part of the entertainment package. So, exactly. Here's your challenge now. You've won. Great breakthrough in the European Tour. How do you make sure that you continue to contend and it's not just, I've done that, and you kind of take your foot off the pedal and sort of slope off away into the distance again? How do you keep your game up at that level?
For me, it's pretty simple, really, because from when I first went on tour, 2010, I mean, my game has come on tenfold since then. I'm fitter, I'm stronger, I'm hitting the ball a lot further. I'm a better all-rounded player on the golf course and mentally too. So I've had the right recipe for a couple of years now, and it's just a matter of just sticking to that and keep getting better every day. So, I mean, I feel my game is in a position now where I can compete every week. And my brain is now in a position too where I feel I can compete every week. So hopefully this will be the stepping stone to some more consistent golf. I mean, I've been playing very consistent golf, but not really breaking through the top 10 every week like the top guys do. So hopefully, fingers crossed, this could be the leapfrog I need.
James, I'm going to have to tell you something. You and I have something really in common. Do you know what it is?
Come on, Boxy.
Can I suggest what it might be?
Go on.
You both drive a Ford Poplar.
No, no, it's a Robin Reliant. But listen, you and I, the thing that you and I have in common is we both won the week before the PGA at Wentworth.
Oh, there we go. How did you play in the PGA?
Well, you don't want to hear the next bit.
Hang on. James, I'll tell you how I played. The tournament, unfortunately, started on a Friday because it was a bank holiday finish. We used to finish on a Monday. Do you remember that, Rob?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And I went out and I shot 67 in the Pro-Am and I beat Faldo for a watch, an Imbel watch. And okay. I went out, and I won't tell you the whole thing, but I started on round one. I was playing with Mark James and Mark McNulty, and I started birdie, up and down for a par on the third with the old greens, eagle on the fourth. I was four under through four, and I thought, back-to-backers.
Yeah.
Anyway, I tapped it in to finish in 78th position on Monday afternoon.
On the fifth tee there, Richard, on the fifth tee, did you say to your caddy and shake your head and go, here we go again?
Go again, this is so easy. And then I took the rest of my life off after that.
So, James, what about the challenge then at Wentworth? Massive event now coming up on the European Tour.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's always a great week to play at Wentworth, being local to there and everyone coming out from the golf club and school and stuff, and massive prize fund. But like I said, I'm playing well, I'm confident, and I'm guessing semi-stress-free now, but I just want to get going, really. I'm looking forward to Thursday.
So you have given yourself the Monday off, and will you go to Wentworth tomorrow, Tuesday?
Wentworth Tuesday. I'm seeing my trainer this afternoon for a gym session. I have a couple of sherbets tonight, I think, maybe, and then get to Wentworth on Tuesday.
Great stuff, James. Listen, thank you very much for taking time out in your busy schedule to speak to us on the Race to Dubai show. A fantastic win, the new Spanish Open champion. We'll see you at Wentworth.
Thank you, guys. See you there.
Well, well done, James Morrison. A really, really nice fella. And it's lovely to be staying at home to play the BMW PGA Championship. He just lives around the corner from Wentworth. It's his second European Tour victory and his first since 2010. He moves to 28th on the Race to Dubai and 158 in the official world golf rankings, in from 296. So he's almost halved his position, if you were, from nearly 300 to 150. So that's a really good move. It was a four-way tie for second between Francesco Molinari, Miguel Angel Jimenez, Edouard España and David Howe. First, let's hear from the Englishman. Howe was the joint leader going into the final round, but his chances quickly faded.
I got off to a shocking start. I played poorly on the front nine and couldn't exert any pressure on James whatsoever. He was in control of his game. And it all went wrong, you know, on the ninth for me. Very, very poor tee shot there. And from that point on, it was really a battle to see how high up I could finish in the end. And pleased with the way I came back on the back nine, to be honest with you. To finish tied second, the way I played the front nine was a great effort. Golf's a funny game. I just wasn't on it, the front nine, at all. I felt good. Of all the times I've been in contention so far this year, I was by far the calmest. You know, it's feeling a little bit normal now, which is nice. So that was pleasing as well. It goes to prove, you know, if you can keep getting there, it sort of does get easier. But it doesn't guarantee you're going to play well, and I didn't play well today. Yeah, just pleased with the professional finish. Got the best out of the week that I could in the end. But, you know, four or five bad holes in the front nine cost me.
You've seen James Morrison at close quarters. It's a wonderful performance, isn't it?
Super. I'm good friends with James. We had breakfast this morning, and we're actually members of the same golf club, St George's Hill. Live nearby to one another, and he's a great player, you know, very straight, controls the ball well, and things haven't gone all his own way the last two or three years, and surprising that this is only his second win, but it's a big win. It's a Spanish Open. He fully deserves it. Played superbly today. Held his nerve. You know, it's never easy to actually get the win, and he didn't put a foot wrong.
You had a superb big win at Wentworth not so long ago. Looking forward to going back there in this form, I guess.
Two words: I am.
Very sharp.
Very sharp, very sharp. And many thanks to Nick Dye, as usual, for troweling out all the top interviews every week on the Race to Dubai show. Well spotted, though, from David Howe that he knew his chance had gone, Richard, and he fought back to finish as high as he could.
You know, David, his game went completely off the boil for a long time, didn't it, David Howe? But he's fought his way back now. He's just outside the top 10 on the Race to Dubai, you know. He's 11th.
He finished second in China. He finished fourth and second, 2 weeks running. And then he's finished second here as well. So he's building up to something in the summer. Don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be something. A W's coming for David Howe at some point. Now, while Morrison was a worthy winner, Spain's own Miguel Angel Jimenez provided many of Sunday's highlights during his final round of 67. The 51-year-old defending champion holed his approach for eagle at the fifth, which was a par four, to prompt that familiar celebratory jig. That's the sword in the scabbard and a little bit of moonwalking up the fairway with spikes on. Not easy. Don't do it at home, kids. And at the eighth, he was a foot away from a second hole-in-one in 3 days. The secret to youth, eternal, Miguel Angel Jimenez.
A few glasses of Rioja and the odd cigar.
A huge cigar.
Yeah. No, he's... listen, I've said this many times before, Robert, and I know you'll agree with me. If you don't, I should... Well, I know you will. When he first came out and played on the tour, he wasn't that good.
He was very average.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got to be good to get on the tour, but I mean... Yeah.
He's turned himself into a really good player.
Amazingly, really. I love his, you know, worldwide, especially in America, they love his little warm-up on the range and all that. And I do like, as you say, you talk about that little jig.
Yeah, the hips do sashay, don't they?
Oh, no, he's not bad. He's got that...
They're oily, for, you know, for 50-something, they're very oily.
No, Miguel's a one-off, isn't he? He's pushed on and pushed on. He's won most of his tournaments since the age of 40.
Do you know what? I asked him yesterday, interviewed him and asked him, do you mind being called a senior? And he looked behind him like, you can't be talking to me.
Yeah, who are you talking about? Yeah.
And I asked him what the secret was, you know, being young in the mind. And he said, enjoying what you do in life. And it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
He loves playing golf.
Yeah, he does love it.
Yeah, he loves people and he loves socialising. So there we are. You can bring all those three things together in this game, can't you?
Exactly. I liked all that.
You did like all those things. Not particularly in that order, maybe.
Not necessarily in that order, no.
OK, let's hear from Italy's Francesco Molinari now, another of those who finished tied second.
Well, it's, you know, a good week, obviously. I was having a sniff at the trophy on the back nine, but, you know, I did my best. Unfortunately, the last few putts didn't drop, but I played well. I fought all day. I managed to get a couple of birdies, you know, when I needed to. Just finish short, but, you know, I'm happy the way I performed this week.
I think that's his third event on the Race to Dubai this year because he's been playing in America as well. So he's doing the two tour thing. It's his 24th consecutive round at par or better, though. That's a bit of consistency, Richard.
It is consistent. It's a shame he's gone over to play in America or a fair few tournaments out there. I think he's badly missed over here, Molinari.
Doesn't always
Molinari
work out.
Molinari seems a European player to me.
What does that mean?
Well, he seems suited, I think.
It's a lifestyle thing,
it
almost.
It is, yeah, yeah. I think Francesco, to me, is a heart of the European tour player.
I like that. It's beautifully put. Now, Eduard España was the leader after 36 holes before a third round of 76. Nevertheless, the Frenchman was delighted to return to form on the final day to claim a share of second place.
Feels so good. I'm really happy to finish like that because too early to finish. I play well. I arrive to stay focused on my game and on my mental. So yes, I'm really happy. I'm proud of me, and I hope to do the same thing for all those tournaments.
Eduard España, Richard, looks like yet another really good young French player.
He likes punching the air with delight, doesn't he, as well?
And he had a good crowd, a good raucous crowd following yeah. him around, so they were egging him on. Anyway, for him to finish with two late birdies and finish tied second was fantastic for him. It's his first ever top 10 on the European Tour, so that's well done to him. Emiliano Grillo is a fantastic young Argentine player as well. He was sixth on 5 under par. It's now 8 months since the Argentine finished over par for a tournament, Richard.
That 8 months
tells you how consistent he is.
8 months. You're surprised he hasn't picked up any wins there.
That's pretty impressive. It really is. Now, Richard, the top 10 in the Open de España.
Big tie, actually, for 9th through to 14th. What have you got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players on it. -3, and it was Wade Ormsby, Søren Kjeldsen, Maximilian Kiefer, Darren Fickart, Pelle Edberg, and Eduardo de la Riva from Spain. They were on 3 under. 2 players on 4 under. Jorge Campillo and Jose Manuel Lara. About time he started playing well again at 4 under. 5 under par on his own is Emiliano Grillo. Is it Grillo? It's Grillo.
Grillo, yeah.
Grillo, there you go. Francesco Molinari was tied second with Jimenez, the defending champion, David Howell, and Eduard España from France at 6 under, but a 4-shot win for James Morrison.
Beautifully done. Now, a couple of surprising stats for the week. Richard, enjoy these. Marcus Fraser had 22 putts on Friday, but still shot 73.
Obviously, his game not quite in shape at the
moment.
Not
quite in shape, but Friday was a tough day, I have to say that. And Alvaro Quiroz somehow managed to drop 10 shots in 5 holes from the 9th to the 13th on Friday and missed the cut by just 1 shot.
That is bad news. Yeah, he was doing all right. He was on that first page of the leaderboard at one point.
I think he's going to have a good week soon, Alvaro Quiroz.
Yeah. Yeah, you could be right.
Race to Dubai standings.
Top 10 are George Kortsia, Kiradash Appi Barnrat, Bernd Wiesberger is 8th, Annibern Lahiri is in 7th, 6th is Ross Fisher, Brandon Grace is 5th, Louis Oosthuizen is 4th, Justin Rose is 3rd, Danny Willett, who's been right up there ever since his win down in South Africa, Sun City, at the end of last year, he's in 2nd, and Rory McIlroy is ahead. What is he points-wise ahead? He's a million ahead, virtually.
Now, last week's Fancy Race to Dubai tips, Dan went for David Howell. Brilliant tip.
Yeah, very good.
Finished second.
He did George Kortsia the week before that, yes. or a little bit time before that, picked the winner again. He's on form.
He's quite
Mr.
canny,
Robert.
Old Dan. And you, Richard, went for Alex Levy, who didn't play.
No, but he was down on the sheet to play.
But how unfortunate. Better luck this week, Rich. As for the European Tour's Fancy Race to Dubai game, it was Hilly. Team name, We Go Again, YNWA, You'll Never Walk Alone, who earned the most points last week. His team featured James Morrison, Miguel Angel Jimenez, David Howell, Emiliano Grillo, and Sergio Garcia. He won 50,000 more points than any other team. By the way, fewer than 5% of fantasy teams had James Morrison in their team. Alexandre Badou now leads the way in the overall Fantasy Race to Dubai standings. To pick your fantasy team, visit europeantour.com/myEuropeanTour. Now, in America, at the Wells Fargo Championship at Quail Hollow, Rory McIlroy won by 7 shots, setting a new tournament record score of 267. The world number one finished on 21 under par to earn his second win at Quail Hollow. America's Patrick Rogers and Webb Simpson tied for second. Rory shot his lowest career round of 61 on Saturday to lead by 4 strokes going into the final day and says that low score was down to a good afternoon with the putter, something he'd like to have more often.
I'd like to just get a little bit more consistent with my putting. I'll have days where, you know, everything falls like yesterday, and then I have days like today where I feel like I putt okay, but nothing really drops, especially in that 8 to 12 foot range. So just sharpen up a little bit on that. But then most other areas of my game are, I feel, in a really good place. I took command of the tournament yesterday, and then I just needed to play a solid round of golf today, and I feel like the more times I get in that position where I go out with leads like this, I've learned now how to handle these positions, and I'm finishing the job off the way I should, which is very pleasing. And it's just a great momentum builder. Still got a lot of golf to play, and I don't feel like my game's ever been in better shape, so excited for the next few months.
I bet he is excited as well. I read a stat that the longest putt he held, Richard, in the 61 was 13 feet.
Was hitting it very close. It was remarkable. Every time, I mean, I could watch him swing all day long. I think it's fantastic. I mean, when he gets
to drive...
Well,
you're lucky with your job, aren't you? You get to.
Well, I do get to. I am lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it amazing when he says, I still want my putting to be a bit more consistent.
Well, when you hit more greens, you don't hold that. You don't see the ball going in that much. That's what happens.
No.
I mean, Rory can have a day where he doesn't hold a thing, literally, and he's at 68.
Would you like to know the top 10, Robert?
I would.
Of the official world golf ranking.
Yes.
I shall tell you. Dustin Johnson, after his time off. Ninth is Ricky Fowler. Garcia is in eighth. Jason Day, seventh. Sixth is Justin Rose. Jim Furyk is in fifth. Bubba Watson's fourth. Henrik Stenson from Sweden is third. Jordan Spieth is second. And as Robert well knows... Rory McIlroy leads, and comfortably.
He does lead comfortably. News from around the golfing world. Wu Ashun has made golfing history for the second time in 3 weeks by being named the Hilton European Tour Golfer of the Month for April. It's the first time a golfer from China has won the prestigious accolade and his reward for the 29-year-old's stunning victory at the Volvo China Open, the first win for a Chinese golfer in the European Tour event on home soil. On the European Challenge Tour, England's Max Oren won the Made in Denmark Challenge at the Royal Golf Club Copenhagen. Oren finished a shot clear of Scotland's Andrew MacArthur. And May is the UK's National Golf Month, and those involved with British golf have been joining together to increase the numbers playing the sport. And Nick Dyer asked two-time European Tour winner Tommy Fleetwood how he first got into the game.
So in Southport, back where we live, at the local municipal, there's this like Sefton Juniors organisation, so my brother used to play there every Monday night, and when I was sort of like 4 or 5, starting to get a mind of my own, I started to want to go along, and so my dad took me, cut a couple of clubs down, and I just used to wander around and hit the odd shot here and there, and that was pretty much me hooked. I loved it straight away, and it's been nothing but fun for me ever since, and while I say that, I might change my mind now and again, but no, it's been great to me, golf, and I love the game.
When did you know you were going to be good?
You just keep playing and enjoying it and having fun, and then you practice harder, and then you have friends that you grow up with that are good golfers, and then I think once you get into county teams and then you get a little bit better, and then England teams came along, and when I left school I just decided that I'm going to give it a go, and I got 2 full years of it and then turned pro after that. So I was lucky that I had the opportunity to travel with England. You know, that was great, and you get to travel the world early on, and you get to learn, and you get to play, and you get to practice with some of the best coaches in the country and the best players. So all of that put together, you end up getting the best out of yourself.
National Golf Month, what would you say to somebody who thinks, quite be tempted, but there's so many other things, why golf?
Because it will frustrate you for the rest of your life. It will give you something that you can't take your mind off for a minute, pretty much. That's about the best way I can put it. It's just... it'll get you hooked, and you'll never get bored playing golf, because there's always something to improve on. There'll always be one shot that you'll think, yeah, I'll come back tomorrow for that, and that's golf for you. That's why we all love it.
How did you start, Richard?
With a birdie. I'll tell you what got me into the game, Robert, to start with. I used to watch my dad open the club face of a sand iron where we used to live and try and chip it up over the wall onto the top of the garden. I thought, well, that looks quite good. I'll have a go at that. So I had a little go at that, and then I caddied for my dad, and I just sort of went on from there, really. What about you?
I went to Bournemouth with the family in a caravanette, and we used to park up quite close to a pitch and putt course. So I had my first experience of golf at a pitch and putt course, playing with a load of adults. Never played golf before. I've got hand-eye coordination because I did other sports at the time, and so I could hit it. I mean, I'm not saying I hit it well. I could hit the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my dad said, well, you know, you've got a bit of aptitude for that. Why don't you have a lesson? Once I had my first lesson, I was absolutely hooked. First lesson was just purely how to grip the club. I just kept practicing gripping the club.
Yeah, and off you went.
So that's how we got started in golf, Richard, really. That's all our yesterdays, all done and dusted. Let's bring it right back up today, because
Come
the next
then.
Event is the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. What's the course going to be like, Richard?
What have we had weather-wise here? It's going to be quite bouncy. They changed the greens. It'll make it quite difficult to keep the ball on the green. Some of the greens with the new designs are really difficult to keep it on the green.
Do you like it playing soft or playing hard and fast?
Hard and fast, but receptive greens. It's a fiddly little... It's not a little course, but it's fiddly, and you know, and the greens are incredibly difficult now.
Rory McIlroy, defending champion?
Yes, Rory, bless him.
Looking for a bit of confidence, isn't he?
Well, he's struggling, isn't he, at the moment? I can't really see anybody else.
He doesn't know when his next good score's going to come, does he? Oh, Rory.
No, he doesn't. But none of us are allowed to pick him.
Oh, we can't pick him this week?
No, we're not allowed to.
It's hard to pick against him, isn't it?
It is very hard. That's why we can't pick him.
He is getting now to close to where Tiger Woods was.
Yeah, not far off.
Where, if the bet is, you can have Rory McIlroy or you can have the field.
I mean, about the lowest price I think I saw Woods when his pomp was like 7-2. Which is ridiculous in a golf tournament. So Rory will be not far off that, I would have thought.
He won't be far off that. Yeah, he won't be far off that.
Remarkable, really.
Go through some of the runners and riders.
Shall I? Well, McIlroy is alongside the likes of Rose, Kiemer, Koepka, Jamie Donaldson, Graham McDowell, Lee Westwood, Stephen Gallagher, Darren Clark, Ernie Els, Harrington, Luke Donald. He could do with a bit of form. He's not been brilliant of late. Manassero's playing. I know he made the cut last week, but he struggled a little bit. He passed champion at Wentworth. And then you've got the likes of Miguel. He's playing Miguel Angel Jimenez, Ross Fisher. We must also mention James Morrison. He lives just down the road, not far away. It's always nice when you can sleep in your own pit when you're playing a golf tournament, that is for sure. It's a brilliant field. Tommy Fleetwood's in there. It's George Kutsia. It's a very good field. Whatever happens, the cream comes to the top. It always does in that event. And I would think there's a fair chance Rory McIlroy will win.
Yeah, the way he's playing. He came from 7 back in the final round last year to win on the week where he split up with Caroline Wozniacki. So he's able to compartmentalise and tuck stuff away while he's playing golf. Now he's just in a fantastic position. So, yeah, he is the guy to beat. Who's going to beat him?
I am going to go, because I think his game suits it. I'm going to go for Francesco Molinari.
Very
on
good.
Form, shapes the ball nicely. Don't have to be massively long round Wentworth
to
do
played well.
Well
last week.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go, this might surprise you a little bit, because we're banned from picking Rory this week.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Gregory Havre.
Ah, right. No, I remember talking to you.
I'll tell you why, because I watched him on the range last week, and for 40 minutes I watched him hit balls before he went out and played, and he didn't miss a shot. If he has a good putting week, Gregory Havre could win the BMW PGA Championship. And he has finished second in a major before to Graham McDowell when Graham won at Pebble Beach.
Do you think it's almost this event has got the feeling of almost of a WGC?
Without a question, it could be a WGC right now, the BMW PGA Championship. It's that big. And we've got Patrick Reed coming across as well, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Anyway, you can follow the action from Wentworth this week on live at BMW PGA Championship Radio. It's on 87.7 FM if you're at the course, or you can listen worldwide on the European Tour website as well as the official European Tour app. Dave Farrar presents live coverage of the European Tour's flagship event, starting with a preview show on Wednesday afternoon. Then as the live action gets underway, there's coverage first thing on Thursday morning until the close of play on each of the 4 days, with live commentary and interviews from the world's best players. Former Ryder Cup winner Gordon Brand Jr. and ex-European Tour player John Hawksworth will join our expert commentary team of Ron Jones, Matt Adams and Richard Kaufman for all the action as Rory McIlroy looks to defend his title. Official tournament information will also be available, so don't forget to listen to 87.7 FM at the course or via the European Tour website or the official European Tour app. Well, that's just about it for the Race to Dubai show. Next week, we will reflect on that BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth and look ahead to the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open, hosted by the Rory Foundation. That is a mouthful. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. But for now, from Richard Boxall,
goodbye.
And myself, Robert Lee, have a very enjoyable BMW PGA Championship. We'll see you next week.